You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Ricker.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, in many urban neighborhoods, retail food options can be scarce, and people without a car may travel miles for fresh meat and produce. Residents of the Walker's Point neighborhood in Milwaukee have been trying to attract a grocery store to their area for years, and their efforts are finally paying off. We hear how they came together to make it happen.
First, the earliest years of a child's life can be some of the most crucial. The human brain develops at the fastest rate between the ages of birth and 3 years old. Research shows that factors like nutrition and education in a child's developmental years have an impact on achievement far down the road.
A summit being held today at UW-Madison is bringing experts together from 50 counties around the state to look more closely at those factors. The summit, called Prenatal to Five, will look at what people can do to nurture brain development in a child's early years to narrow what many people call the achievement gap between kids from different backgrounds.
Janine Dilworth-Bart joins us now to tell us more. She's the chair of the summit and also chair of the Department of Human Development and Family Studies at UW-Madison School of Human Ecology. Janine, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, why focus on these first 5 years of life?
Wow. So those first 5 years, so much is going on in a child's life. All of the really critical neural connections are happening. Developing those early relationships with caregivers and then eventually friends. Also, just it sets the foundation for who that child is going to be.
And what is exactly going on in the brain that makes these first 5 years so important?
So what's going on is that as a child is developing in utero, the brain is making neural connections. All those neurons are connecting. And then as a child is born, those connections still continue. They still continue to be made. And there's a lot of interaction with the environment that allow those connections to continue. So the more enriching the environment, the more enriched the brain.
And how can optimizing brain development help a child all the way through adulthood? It seems like that's a lot to ask of those first 5 years.
It is a lot to ask. Those first 5 years are really important. That time, even prenatally, it's very important. And so what happens in that early environment is that we are interacting with people. We are learning how to negotiate our environments, how to negotiate our different relationships with other people. And what we're doing is setting a stage for the person that we're going to become. And so it's not that everything stops at five. It's that when what we start at five, or we start in that prenatal period up through early childhood, we're really creating an opportunity for children to get the best out of their lives as they can.
And you have this Prenatal to Five summit going on in Madison today. Can you tell us a little bit about the backstory there? How did that come about?
So the summit is actually tomorrow.
Oh,
today
tomorrow.
There's another summit going on today that is elevating the profession of early childhood or early childhood professionals. And I was attending that as well. So the backstory on the summit is that in 2015, my dean of the School of Human Ecology, she came to me and she gave me an assignment. And she said, you know, we have this wonderful preschool lab and it's about to be 100 years old. So what can we do to reimagine what this preschool lab is going to be? And so what we did is we met with numerous people, parents, early educators, researchers, students, childcare providers across the community. We met with them and said, well, you know, what kinds of things do you think we should be doing? And it very quickly became clear that this was so much bigger than us. This was a bigger effort. There was already so much going on in our community, and we wanted to be a part of what was already happening. So we met up with other schools and colleges, including education, and we quickly realized that what was starting out as a preschool lab effort became this growing Prenatal to Five initiative.
So a lot of listening going on there. What kinds of things did you hear from people about what kinds of approaches and disciplines they wanted to be part of this effort?
Well, you know, we wanted, what we heard was that we wanted thought leaders. And I was like, so what's a thought leader? Because that sounds sort of like a non-term. But we wanted people who were working directly with children. who were dedicated to working with families. So the people who will be coming to the summit come from any number of fields. They come from medicine, public health, early childhood education, human development, psychology, any number of fields that are going to be represented. And so that's what we heard, is that what we need is everyone in, a community effort to really address these critical issues.
We're talking right now with Janine Dilworth-Bart. She's the chair of the Prenatal to Five Summit, which will be held tomorrow at UW-Madison. And we're looking at how future outcomes can be improved upon by focusing on the first 5 years of a child's life, and in particular in brain development. And Janine, one of the biggest problems that educators are trying to address right now is what's known as the achievement gap. You are preferring a different term. We'll get to that in a moment.
Okay.
But how can brain development and focusing in on that possibly improve something like that disparity?
Well, getting back to this idea that we're setting the stage. We're setting the stage for healthy, productive lives for children. And so if you are developing in a context where there's insufficient food, where your health care needs and your health is not cared for, where you don't have housing stability, it makes it really hard to learn. It makes it really difficult to parent. And so focusing on this earliest part of a child's life, and making sure that all of those needs are met, it's critical to really addressing these underlying issues, these things that we call a gap, that we call disparities. You know, those differences, they do exist, and they exist because of really issues that are sometimes, oftentimes, structural in our society.
So you're talking about things like housing and parenting and nutrition and language. And these all are apparently a piece of what it takes to raise a healthy child with a healthy brain that's developing.
Exactly.
So I can see why you would need that community style approach. How do you go about, how will you go about bringing all those pieces together?
So that's the exciting thing about the summit. So as university scholars, we decided, you know what, we need to listen and know what's going on in our state. And so with the summit, people will come in, and our goal is to hear, is to learn what's going on out in our furthest most counties, what's going on in our tribal nations. And as we hear what people need, what they're currently doing, that's when I could say, oh, okay, I have expertise in a certain area that maybe I can contribute in my role as a professor of human development and family studies. But there are other things that it might occur to me, well, I don't have that expertise, but let's create a network. Let's create a Prenatal to Five network that is statewide, that reaches all the corners of the state, that reaches all of our tribal nations, that really brings together all of those resources.
And I want to stop and address this term achievement gap, because we hear it a lot. We do a lot of interviews on the show, and that's the term that tends to be used. You prefer the term education debt. Can you tell us why?
Yeah, I would like to take credit for that term, but I can't. It's one of our professors here at UW-Madison, Gloria Ladson Billings. And when we talk about achievement gap, what it bestows a sense of blame on a child, that there's something wrong with them, there's a deficit in them, as opposed to recognizing that we have a responsibility as members of a society to help our children succeed. And so as I thought about this term achievement gap, unfortunately, oftentimes it's used, and what it boils down to is that Black and brown kids just don't do well, and they are somehow inherently deficient. And that's not the overt intention of that term, but that's often how that term, that's the undercurrent of that term. But education debt, it flips the responsibility away from a child who is an infant you know, going through infancy and toddlerhood, who doesn't have all of that agency. And it flips the responsibility back to us, back to the wider society.
There has been starting to be some new attention paid to this period of life, 0 to 5, and in particular, the brain development. And we've talked about that on this program as well. But is there evidence out there already that by focusing in on brain development and all of these factors that come together to help a healthy child with a healthy brain, is there data that this can help close the education debt, or mm-hmm. the achievement gap?
Or these disparities in educational sure. outcomes. Yeah, so there's growing evidence out there that if we really focus on making sure that our children at the earliest stages of life have their needs met, and then more than just have their needs met, but also have opportunities for enrichment, to thrive, to have rich language interactions, that those things are related to better academic outcomes, better socio-emotional outcomes. But it's also important to keep in mind that this development happens in a context. So there's a wider context that all of these things happen in. So I can talk to my child, I can hug my child and nurture my child, but my child also needs to live in an environment that's safe and enriching and stable.
We're talking right now with Janine Dilworth-Bart in studio. She's the chair of the Prenatal to 5 Summit being held at UW-Madison. And we're looking right now at how future outcomes can be improved by focusing on the first 5 years of a child's life.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. What is out there in your community? Do you see a local effort to focus on these early years, prenatal to 5, to help kids? Do you work in early childhood education? Tell us what you do, what you see with the kids you work with if you are in the schools. What would you like to see focused on before a kid comes to school? Do you see these things like not just education, but also housing, nutrition, and making a difference in kids' performances? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're picking up our conversation now with Janine Dilworth-Bart. She's the chair of the Prenatal to 5 Summit, which is being held at UW-Madison. And we're looking at what resources in the first 5 years of a child's life lead to healthy brain development and ultimately to later success.
You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions for our guest or your thoughts on this topic. Do you work in this field? Do you work with kids, especially kids, prenatal up to 5, prenatal care up to 5 or beyond? What do you see making a difference for things like success in school? What do you think that individuals and communities can do to improve things? Not just when it comes to education, but housing, nutrition, things like that. Call in now at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll take our first caller now. We've got Mary on the line with us in Madison. Mary, hi.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
A wonderful topic. I was just going to ask about the summit and addressing the nutritional aspects, parents' choices for the proper nutrition for your child, especially, you know, at prenatal stage and through infancy, in the growing number of concerns that parents have on being able to provide good nutritional choices for their children due to the mislabeling of foods, the chemicals in foods, and being in certain areas where being able to afford the proper nutrition for your child.
Mary, thanks so much for that call. And what do you say to that, Janine? What options are there and some of the obstacles that parents can run into?
Well, I think that there can be many obstacles. Food deserts are a very real issue. I live over close to the southwest side of Madison, and I am very thankful that I have the availability of a car, and I have the availability of a bus line, because I can feed my kids and I can get to the grocery store and relatively easily find them a wide selection of fruits and vegetables to eat. And so there's absolutely an issue with the availability of an easy access to food and in our communities. So one thing that, that parents can do, so we know that our children should be eating a wide variety of plant-based foods. A plant-based diet is turning out to be the healthiest diet for our children and for, well, all humans. And so oftentimes eating those fresh vegetables, people are afraid to get them because they'll go bad. Well, there's the frozen vegetable option, which is just as healthy and it lasts a little bit longer. But I do agree with Mary that there are some very distinct issues around nutrition, around being able to access healthy food. And really a big part of that is that we have this whole structural issue of availability of markets, but also availability of public transportation.
Great. Well, Mary, thank you so much for that question. Appreciate it. And we'll move next to Cynthia joining us in Madison. Cynthia, hello.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call. Hi,
sure.
Janine.
Hi.
It's a wonderful summit. I'm really looking forward to attending it. And I had a question about the role of high-quality early child care, especially in reducing some of the racial disparities we see in Dane County and also across the state. What kind of concrete policies can we look to make sure that high-quality nurturing child care is available to all children in our community?
Cynthia, thank you for that. And Janine?
That is a wonderful question, and I thank Cynthia for asking it. You know, we really need to rethink how we conceptualize, how we talk about what early child care is. Our early child care providers, they're professionals. They are skilled professionals that help our children develop into healthy human beings. And so their role is absolutely critical. Their role is essential. They provide meaningful supports, not only to children, but to families. I can say, being a transplant from the East Coast, that in the day-to-day functioning of my life, when I had an issue with my two small kids, and I couldn't get my mother on the phone, I would talk to my child care provider and say, well, how do I get my kid to eat those healthy fruits and vegetables that I've gotten for them at the grocery store? And so that role of early child care really cannot be overstated. It's essential as a support. And I think that really one of the things that if I were to imagine what would come out of our summit tomorrow is a very frank, a very real discussion about how do we elevate this profession.
We're talking right now with Janine Dilworth-Bart, Chair of Human Development and Family Studies at UW-Madison School of Human Ecology, talking about what factors in the first 5 years of a child's life can lead to later success and how to make sure those factors come into play successfully for kids and help their brains develop well. And we'll take another call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And we have Jen with us next, calling from Madison. Jen, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. So I have three primary questions, and I'm going to try and, like, be concise and then try and take the answer off the air. I'm wondering if the guest can talk a little bit about what the holdup is in terms of funding and policymaking that prioritizes reactive programming, like incarceration, versus proactive programming, like Head Start, particularly when statistics show that early, intensive, resource-rich programming has directly correlates to better outcomes. Secondly, I'm wondering what she has to think, you know, what her thoughts are on cultural appropriation of education. I have worked in several educational settings, as well as my spouse is a former school teacher in Chicago, and oftentimes found that for individuals of color, the idea of engaging in educational programming or gifted programs was seen as being culturally removed or selling out.
And Jen, I'm going to jump in there because we're running short of time. I just want to make sure we've got time for our guest to respond, at least to the first two. So Janine, she was mentioning there different kinds of what she called programming and also cultural appropriation. What do you say?
So I'll start with the second question because I think this is a this is an interesting one, because I will say, as an African-American myself, this idea of education being culturally devalued is something that I just can't relate to. And I think that there's a way to flip that and to think in terms of, if your neighborhood is unsafe, if you're hungry, if your housing is unstable, if you have all of these stressors going on in your life, it's really hard to focus on education. And so that's one of the things that I would counter with, is that education is incredibly important as a means out of tough situations in a lot of lower income, not just African American or Black and Brown communities, but really in all communities. And this idea of the funding holdup, I wish I had an answer to that, because the science is pretty solid that all of these investments are in the earliest part of life, they are, they're worth it. The returns are amazing. You know, if I could buy a stock that would give me a return of 7 to 10% or 12%, I would be thrilled. And that's what investment in early childhood, and in prenatal to five, that's what that gives us.
And Janine, we're just about out of time, but 20 seconds. Any final takeaways for parents who want to take small steps to ensure their child's achievement and health at home?
The favorite thing that I like to tell parents when I talk to them is go to sleep. So I know that's a little bit off topic, but I am a big fan of going to bed. And so that is a recommendation that I would give. And after that, I would like to say that the story is not written for our children. So we're talking about prenatal to five tomorrow. However, there's all that time after five that we'll focus on as well.
Janine, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That was Janine Dilworth-Bart, chair of the Prenatal 5 Summit starting tomorrow in Madison, also chair of the Human Development and Family Studies at UW-Madison School of Human Ecology, talking about early brain development.